Hey, everybody. As Y&R is gearing up for the holidays, we've got Nikki, who is starting to drink again, Tessa, who's been abducted, and then we also have Billy, who's trying to get back together with Phyllis. Stay tuned for this week's Restless Wrap.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. I'm Rachel Goodman here with another week of Restless Wrap. Before we get started, I just want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat right now. We have Hubby Joe, Demo, Clex Anvers, a.k.a. Tiffany, Susan Russo, Matthew Kennedy, Duleman. Let me just make sure I didn't forget anyone. Simone Francois is in the chat. Thank you all for joining. I will be checking in for comments. Speaking of comments, we've had a lot of people just discussing this week. So I just want to give some highlights to the chat that's been happening as we've been getting ready to go live. We have Demo saying Abby was so mean to Mia. Not cool. Demo also says Kane wanting Reed to leave was really cold. He just lost his dad. And then Demo is also talking about Mia and how it's really hard for her to fit in right now and everything that she's doing. And she's trying to make up for her past mistakes. Clexandra says, tell you what, I was so ready to give up on Tessaria. Then the women pulled that kidnapping crap and Mariah came to Tessa's rescue. Consider me sold back to the Tessaria ship. And I would have to agree with you there, Tiffany. And that's actually a good place for us to start. Let me just read a couple more comments and then we will touch on everything happening with Tessa and Mariah. So Demo also says, Lola Finn, you can help me work tonight. Finn, sorry, I have to get a root canal. That was hilarious. Definitely. Duleman, please. Hashtag bye, Tessa. Yeah, kind of said in the tone of bye Felicia, so we'll see what happens to Tessa. As of this week, though, nothing is happening to her. Well, nothing that already didn't happen. We start off the week with that's actually where it started exactly. We picked right back up with Mariah trying to get in touch with Tessa, and she's sending her messages like, hey, where are you, blah blah blah. We know from the week before this that Mariah has been debating about whether she's going to break it off with Tessa, and she had just gotten to the place where she was like, yeah, we've got to break this off, it's not going to work. But she's waiting for Tessa. Tessa's not showing up because Tessa has been abducted. And that's kind of where we go from there, is that as Mariah's sending these text messages, we then kind of segue into cut into the car where Tessa is with the bag over her head and the phone going off with all the messages. Pretty quickly, we see that Sharon's in the back seat, and then Victoria and Nikki are in the front. And that basically they were the ones who abducted her, and they are giving her a really hard time. As this was happening, I felt bad for Tessa in the sense that these three women were ganging up on her, but I also didn't believe a word that Tessa was saying, and it almost felt like all these fake tears and that she was just like I don't know if it's, okay, I hate to say this, I don't know if it's the acting or that the character is actually trying to act the sadness. And so it's kind of like, all right, well, what's up with Tessa? I don't trust her. I agree with Duleman in the sense that it's like, you know, please just to get her. In one sense, I kind of want Tessa to just go. And even when Mariah was talking to Lola, I was even like, oh, I could see Mariah with Lola. That would be better. But as we saw in that conversation between Mariah and Lola, the only person who has ever really made Mariah feel this way about another human being is Tessa. And so Mariah is sort of in this situation where she knows that she'll never not have these deeper feelings for Tessa. Okay, so we have Nikki in the car with Tessa, and basically what she is saying is that not only are they blaming Tessa for everything that happened with the hard drive or with the flash drive and getting the evidence that these, you know, that the four of them had JT's body and dropped it off at Chancellor's Park. Nikki's blaming Tessa for the fire at the ranch, which to me makes complete sense. Tessa is definitely someone who could have done this. She's lived at the ranch. She knows the layout. She knows how to get in and out. And Nikki's point was, well, Tessa's not, it could have been about the money before. Now for Tessa, it's probably all about getting vengeance and like making this personal and getting back at the people who she feels have, for whatever reason, wronged her, probably after after Victoria confronted her. So Nikki has a really valid point, and I see where she's going with that. I wouldn't be surprised if it is Tessa who's done this whole thing. But I don't know what direction they're going with at this point because we don't really have any clues as to who's doing this. I know we have a lot of theories that JT is actually still alive and he's the one doing it. I know we kind of touched on it maybe being Victor, but it doesn't sound like the most plausible explanation. Victor wouldn't be doing this to them necessarily since he would probably want JT dead too, even if he was mad that they didn't tell him that they did this. Probably wouldn't be him. So I'm thinking it's either JT or it's Tessa. That's my opinion. So then we're cutting back and forth between the scene with the women. I don't even want to say interrogating because it was more like they were verbally attacking Tessa. And Tessa, I'm sorry, but the whole scene, I thought that I liked the direction they were going with it and it could have been great. I just felt like something was missing, just the dynamic between all of them, between Tessa in the backseat and then Victoria and Nikki in the front. Something was missing for me that didn't give it the tension that it could have had in the performance. And it just, I don't know, maybe it boils down to the way that Tessa, the character, played this and how fake it seemed to me that she was, I don't want to say overreacting, because if I was in that situation, I would be very scared too, and I would be crying and I'd be upset. But the way that Tessa reacted, it just felt so fake and like she was overreacting to what was happening by her reaction. And so I just didn't buy it. It made me think she was lying. And I don't know, like with Tessa, you never know. It could be that she's lying about something completely differently than we think she's lying about, and that she may not have moved the body, but maybe she's involved in this some other way. It's just every week, well, not every week necessarily, but every time we learn something new about Tessa, it's another lie. So I just, you know, I don't know what's up with her at this point, and I'm curious to see what they do with her because I think it could be stronger, and I would love to see that Tessa's more involved in this than she's saying. That would be better. We have a couple of comments here. Well, Rainy J just popped in. Hey, Rainy J. Demo says maybe it's Chelsea. She hates the Newman family and Victor. Yeah, it could be. It definitely could be. Duleman, Victor is definitely behind something. Yeah, I don't know that he went to the extreme of burning the ranch. It could be, I guess, but I could see him potentially being behind some of this. Let's see. Demo says, I think the tension was missing because Sharon felt bad for Tessa, which made the scene strange. Yeah, I agree with that. And so I think the problem is there for me, it was Sharon. I like that Sharon felt bad. I didn't like the dialogue coming from Sharon. And I think that's why it kind of like dragged it on. And a scene like that where they are attacking her, I needed it to be more like boom, 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 like give us the dialogue real fast. And then let's see Tessa's reaction, make it faster. The problem is it was dragged on with dialogue that was too lengthy, and we didn't get the feel for what was actually happening. It just didn't come across the right way. Hubby Joe says the whole scene was weird. Poor acting from Nikki. Clixandra says it was almost like they were trying to force Tessa to confess something that we don't have any proof that she may or may not have done. And then Matthew Kennedy, I don't think it's JT anymore. Maybe someone from Nikki and Victor's past. JT would focus on Vicky. Yeah, he probably would, unless JT was alive the whole time and he heard all of them and heard them discussing all of this and then made it a personal vendetta against all four of them. That could be it too, but I'm not sure. There's just not enough for me to even have an educated guess at this point because it's so, like, we're seeing all these random things happening to them, but we're not getting a clear sense of how it's all really linked And I mean, obviously it's linked because it's linked to the four of them, and it's linked because so far we just keep seeing JT's things, a gun that they didn't even say it was registered to JT when Ray had it. He just found this gun after the fire, a shirt with blood on it that they said was linked to JT. Then we saw the jacket from JT with the blood on it, just all of that. It just, like, to me, it's I'm not seeing enough to really know who could be behind all this and why they're dragging it on this much. So we eventually, what happens with Tessa is the three of them are still kind of, well, more or less Nikki and Victoria are kind of attacking Tessa. Sharon feels bad, makes the three of them get out of the car. They leave Tessa in there. I thought Tessa was going to run at that point. But the three of them get out of the car. They leave Tessa inside. They get out and they just start talking about it. And like, oh, well, what, you know, it's really like Sharon's like, it's not her, blah, 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 blah. Victoria and Nikki, they want to keep in. They want to go back in and keep pushing her because they're not so sure about that. They get back in the car. And as they're talking to Tessa, they sort of hint, like not even really, but sort of hint that they're going to have to kill Tessa. And I'm like, okay, first of all, the way that Victoria and Nikki, the look on their faces as they were playing this, as the actresses were playing this, it didn't feel like, it was coming across like they actually wanted to kill her, not like it was them doing a power play. Not that they have to, I mean, because obviously they want Tessa to think that they are going to have to kill her. Obviously that's the goal, but it just came across like a different, like what was going through their minds was different than probably what they were intending to do. And it just didn't work for me. And it didn't feel like it was actually, like it just dragged on the whole thing. So on that note, so before we drag this on, they end up leaving Tessa out in the middle of the woods in the cold, and that's it. They just leave her, and they throw her phone at her, and they're like, you know, you'll figure it out. So all of that, all of this questioning, they end up believing her, and then they just leave her out in the woods? Okay, that makes no sense to me. If you really believe this person and you think that she's telling you the truth, you abducted her. Give her the courtesy. I mean, it's not like Nikki and Victoria are like, you know, they're not, this isn't a typical, we're not watching Ray Donovan. In Ray Donovan, they would have just left the person out in the woods. Fine, I get that. This isn't Ray Donovan. This is Nikki and Victoria. They are not actually murderers. They are not actually taking care of something. They are just trying to find some answers. They should have given her the courtesy of driving her back to her apartment and just letting her in. No, they have to leave her in the woods, where she ends up calling Mariah, and Mariah goes out and meets her. And basically at that point, we do get a really touching moment out of this, which makes me want Tessariah to still be a thing. When we see that Mariah goes to Tessa, she's comforting her. I thought that the acting from Tessa was kind of over the top with the whole being in the woods. Unless this was intentional, unless this is Tessa's character. Because the way that it came across when you see Mariah drive up is that Tessa all of a sudden sees the car and the lights, and then she starts acting like she's already crying, but then we see her go like add even more to this performance. So, okay, if this is just the character who just wants Mariah to like feel even worse for her and that's why this is happening, then okay, fair enough. That's exactly what it looked like. If this was supposed to be Tessa actually fearful, afraid, affected by this interrogation that she just experienced, then it was over the top, and it just felt like a very broken performance. That is my take on it. Demo says Tessa is a mess, girl is super stressed out, and yeah, that I did get that, and I'm not saying that Tessa is wrong for her reaction. I just think that scene needed to be a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little shorter with the dialogue. Clixanver says Tessa isn't innocent by any means, but like Mariah said, let's not forget who in this situation killed a man, self-defense or not. Let's not forget who chose to cover it up, and who now has to own up to it. And that is true. Tessa did not kill anyone. It was these people. And so I get it. And if it had been done a little bit differently, I would have understood more of what Tessa was going through. Matthew Kennedy, Tessa wasn't nice to them. And that's true, too. That is completely true. Tessa, isn't... Both sides have things that are going on here. Gisella Erickson says, the only couple I hate more is Phyllis and Nick. So we'll get into Phyllis and Nick in a moment here. Just to finish up with Tessa Raya, we'll call them that. That last scene that we got with them in the snow basically was that was what saved me from not shipping them anymore, because it was a pretty tender moment. And Mariah did point out the fact that she's been in her situation. She knows what it's like to shut everyone off, and she knows what it's like to be in that self-defensive mode. The conversation parts of it that really like stuck out to me, though, Mariah says, you live in a world where it's take or get taken. You don't have to deal with that anymore, even if we're not together. And then Tessa goes, you're leaving me? Mariah says, that's why I wanted to see you tonight. I wanted to tell you that I can't do this anymore. The thing is, I need your face. I'm not going to leave. That, to me, was a very nice moment between the two of them. And it made it so that, all right, fine. Like, I don't agree with things that Tessa... I don't agree with a lot of what Tessa's done. But if I can try to believe that she actually cares for Mariah and it's not just a con, then I like them as a couple together. So, speaking of Y&R and soaps and AfterBuzz TV, did you guys know that our network actually produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows? From drama, reality, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because you can turn them off and they will not bother you. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out all the other AfterBuzz TV channels that we have. Let us know that you did so in the comments, and I'll give you a shout out on the air. So for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us to be the ESPN of TV talk. Speaking of talking, it's that time again. If you would like to call in live, today is December 16th. It is 5:34 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you're on the East Coast, yeah, it's about 8:30 for you guys. If you want to call in live, the number to dial is 424-354-8302. Again, if you would like to call in, we just finished talking about Tessa Raya. If you have thoughts on that, I'd love to hear. Otherwise, we're going to switch gears and move on. But if you would like to call, the number is 424-354-8302. Okay, so while we're waiting for some calls to come in, let me just check in with the chat again, and then we'll move on to our next subject. Let's see. We have a lot of people talking about Rebecca and Nick and Phyllis, so that's probably a good place for us to kind of jump into next. But we do have Demo saying Mariah's in deep denial. And yeah, I agree. I don't see this going well for Mariah. I still feel like Mariah, just like as a last comment here, I feel like Mariah definitely cares for Tessa more than Tessa cares for Mariah. And it's a shame, but like I can see the shift in that relationship. And by shift, I don't mean that anything changed. I mean, like, you can definitely see that the feelings are more shifted toward Mariah having those feelings and less on the side of Tessa having them. So, all right, let's kind of, we have Duleman saying, I hate Flick. That would be Phyllis and Nick for anyone who didn't get that. But yeah, Flick. Demo, what was the number? The number, if you want to call in live, is 424-354-8302. The phone lines are open now. So, and we've got a caller on the line. Thanks for calling. Who is this?
Hi, Rachel. This is Demo from Sacramento.
Hey, Demo. Nice to hear from you.
So
I was going to... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can talk.
I was just going to ask. We were about to jump into Phyllis and Nick. What do you think about everything going on with Rebecca, first of all?
I thought that was kind of like a little of a strange storyline. Like, it seems like, you know, since they put Nick and Phyllis back together, they've been, like, trying to really emphasize that they're, like, connecting as a couple. I think, like, the fact that they had Rebecca, just it seemed like they kind of just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, so. It felt so awkward. And also the fact that Nick really couldn't restrain himself. And do you think he would have done it if Phyllis hadn't walked in?
I don't think so, because it seems like he's really trying to commit to Phyllis ever since the whole debacle went down with Sharon and the wedding. And I think that he's trying to, like, be on the right path to actually having this relationship work after his, you know, marriage, you know, his soon-to-be marriage with Sharon kind of fell through. So I think he's trying to be committed to Phyllis.
Yeah, and I think so, too. I think he was really trying not to cheat and not to do this, even though Phyllis was the one who pimped him out. Like, that's what I don't get, is how this even how it even went down like this, that Phyllis would even want to do this, that she would think this would end well. And personally, I mean, obviously Nick can say no, and we could see that he was trying to. If he had slept with her, though, it wouldn't have bothered me. I would have been like, okay, well, what did Phyllis expect? Like, she put two.
But I don't think the relationship is going to end well, because I kind of feel like Phyllis is a stand-in for Sharon. Like, you know, he was trying so hard to get Sharon back, and then when she was finally like, no, I'm not going to go back to you, he just went with Phyllis. So I think eventually that's going to maybe come to a head down the road.
Yeah.
I think that she's going to see that, you know, he really wants to be, you know, because eventually I feel like Sharon is going to go in another direction, maybe get another relationship, maybe with Ray. And then maybe, like, Nick is going to be jealous, and then maybe she's going to see that he still has his feelings for Sharon, and I think that's going to cause some strife in their relationship.
Yeah, I don't think Nick's ever going to love anyone the way that he loves Sharon, but just from seeing him, and even a couple weeks ago when they, instead of playing an actual episode on CBS, they did a throwback to Nick in the cabin with all these girls, or all these women. I feel like that's kind of the arc that we need to see with Nick first before he can commit to Sharon and like really commit to her. But
I feel like Sharon and Nick are kind of like Victor and Nikki. Like, they marry other people and date other people, but in the end, they always just come back together.
Like, they're the couple. They're the end game couple. I agree with you, and I think that. It's just, to me, Phyllis and Nick, I mean, do they sleep together? Do they have this kind of, can they talk to each other? I'm just not feeling it the way that I feel it when we saw Nick and Sharon together again. So it was just
because it was really strange, because even Phyllis met with Billy, and when Billy was saying he wanted to get back together, so I'm like, well, if you're committed to Nick, why are you lying to Nick and saying, oh, I'm going to the office, but then you're meeting up with Billy. So that's not really good that she's kind of being dishonest in this new relationship.
And I just feel like with like what you were saying with Nick and Sharon, with Phyllis being the stand-in for Sharon, I feel like Nick is the stand-in for Billy. And I was really shocked that I was expecting Phyllis might want to try to get back with Billy. But I do like that what's stopping her is that Billy made that move and slept with Summer, which here's the problem is that if Phyllis ever gets back with Billy, it's going to be so gross because of what Billy did. It's like that's something you can't ever get over. It's not like Billy went out and slept with even Sharon. If he had done that, okay, like fine, like that's not so great, but at least it's another adult who's not related to you. Whereas taking advantage of Summer and sleeping
I was surprised that Billy wanted to go back to Phyllis, because after the whole situation that happened with Nick, and he seemed like he really disliked her, and then now it's like he wants to get back with her. I didn't really understand that. Because I thought they were moving him maybe towards Sharon, because they were having a lot of scenes together. So I thought maybe they were getting together, but then they kind of changed that direction.
Yeah.
They kind of wanted him to go back to Phyllis. I thought he would be good with Sharon. I thought they had really good chemistry on screen. So I don't know why they changed that, but
I agree with you. I wanted to see him with Sharon. That to me, yeah. And especially since Ray is married, not only just married, but he obviously wants to try with his wife. So I thought that Sharon should go with Billy, even if it's only for a little bit, just to be with him, because their chemistry seemed great, like you said. And then I wanted to see, like, I agree with you completely. It felt like Billy went from really despising Phyllis to the last week and a half, suddenly, oh, well, you know what? I miss her. We had a great time at work the other day. That felt very sudden. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that. He did not like her for a really long time, and then now he wanted to get back together with her, and I just didn't see that. But now I kind of feel like now they're maybe inching him towards Victoria, because he's kind of getting close to her now, because she doesn't have anybody, so maybe they're trying to go back with that.
I would like that,
perhaps,
too.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I think I would be for that, because I think that they work pretty well together, and I think they do have a good chemistry on screen.
Yeah.
If it was done right, I think I would definitely be in favor of that, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you for calling in.
Yes. Thank you. You're doing a wonderful job on the Restless Wrap-Up. So I love watching it every week.
Thank you so much. And thanks for always tuning in.
Okay. Thank you. Bye, Rachel.
Bye. Okay. So let's just touch a little more on Nick and Phyllis after we check in with the chat. Hubby Joe says, Nick and Phyllis are together because there was no one else in their life. They are using each other. Rainy J, I want them back together, but tired of the on and off. I think we're talking about Sharon and Nick. Gisella, I'm torn because I actually like Ray and Sharon. I do like Ray and Sharon. I agree. Like, they even have, like, they definitely have chemistry too. But I think my problem with Ray at first when Mia came back, I didn't want him with Mia, but after I started seeing Ray with Mia and the fact that he slept with her again now and he seems like he actually wants to make it work, at least that's what he's told her. Now that I'm seeing that, I don't want Ray and Sharon, because I feel like Ray has sort of made up his mind that he's going to try to be with Mia, even though he told Sharon a couple weeks ago that what was stopping him was her, basically. But no, I want Ray and Mia, I think, at this point. We'll get to that in a second. But Gisella, Phyllis won't get back with Billy till he is committed to Victoria. Yeah, you know that it's going to work like that. And then Victoria is going to suddenly, or sorry, Phyllis is definitely going to want Victoria to, you know, not be with Billy. And now she's, it's going to be a mess. And that's exactly what's going to happen. But the other thing is that what I'm waiting for is for everything with Billy and Summer to come out. So in other words, even if Billy was going to go date Sharon, I'm wondering how Sharon would feel when she finds out what Billy did to Phyllis. And even though Summer is not Sharon's daughter and there's no connection and they don't especially like each other, any woman that Billy goes to date seriously, if they were to find out what he did to Phyllis and him sleeping with Summer, it might make them pause. Like, I could see it being a moment of tension and a moment where they kind of just have to be like, oh, do I really want to date Billy if he did this to someone? So I really hope that they bring that back up at some point and use it, because that is a very good thing to use for tension for that. Gisella says, just leave Kane single. We'll get to him in a second, too. Matthew Kennedy, I want Sharon to go on her own without a man in her life, being a single mom and business owner. That would be an interesting thing for her to do, too. Duleman, it looked like there was something with Kane and Vicky. That's different, but I wouldn't be surprised. Duleman, hashtag where is Faith? And Demo says, I like Ray, needs to be honest with Mia. He has feelings for Sharon. Yeah. Okay, so let's touch a little bit more on Nick and Phyllis. They did have, as Demo and I were discussing, they did have that conversation where Phyllis basically lied to Nick, went with Billy, and then they had a conversation. It didn't really go well. Jack was warning Billy, like, don't even try. It's not going to work out in your favor, but Billy tried, and it didn't. Phyllis basically turned him down and said, sorry, I'm with Nick. You slept with Summer. I can't do this, which I'm glad. Like, you know, she even said, well, how would this, like, what would this say about me as a woman if I got back with you after you slept with my daughter? But Billy reads into this too much when he's talking to Jack later, and he makes a comment along the lines of, well, she's not saying she doesn't love me anymore. She's just saying it would make her look bad. Okay, Billy, it doesn't matter how she said it. She's saying she doesn't want to be with you, so there's that, and you should just let it go. But is Billy going to let it go right now? Probably not. My guess is that he's going to do what Nick did. He's going to, for the next couple of weeks, he's going to be trying to get back with Phyllis, and then he's going to drop it and date someone else. That's my guess. We'll see what happens with that. And then when he stops wanting her, Phyllis is going to come around and say and realize she wants to be with Billy again. So Matthew Kennedy, Faith is going to be 20 years old when she comes back. I think he was just making a kind of a joke. I don't know that they're going to age her up yet, but if I'm wrong, someone please tell me and we'll talk about that. Demo, Billy wanting to be with Phyllis after weeks of hating her. Okay. And then Giselle says, Rainey, I know, but she hasn't been a rebellious teen yet. Also, I thought she would try and date Charlie. Okay. I think we're talking about Faith, maybe? Maybe when Faith gets older, she would try and date Charlie. I think she's, 11 or 12 right now? So right now, yeah, a little young, but obviously considering Charlie's like 17. Okay, so let's get back to the JT storyline just to touch on that. And then we'll try and hit on a couple of random little things that happened, and then we'll get to our law moment. Okay, so the JT storyline, we had everything happening with the abduction of Tessa. And then they all kind of, the women decide, all right, well, obviously this isn't Tessa. I don't know why they decided that based off Tessa's performance, which may or may not be true words, who knows, but they decided that for the time being, they were okay with what Tessa said and they believed her. So now Nikki basically is trying to go around and find a different means of getting information. So she kind of like buddies up with Mia a little bit and gets Mia to do her makeup, and they're talking. And we're starting to see this week too that Nikki's getting back into drinking. She started off with a little sip of wine that Victoria had at her house. She ends up doing the right thing and telling Jack, and Jack and Nikki have this sweet moment where Jack says he's going to go with her to AA. I know Nikki always ends up with Victor, but the thing for me is that I am not a huge fan of Nikki. When she's with Jack, I actually like Nikki more, and I think she's a better person, but she also seems to act differently, and that's something I've noticed with Nikki. She definitely has this mannerism about her and this, like, you know, as she was talking to Mia, they were kind of talking about how, you know, obviously Nikki had not always lived in wealth, and that she had come from the streets in a way, and that she was a dancer for a while, and that's, you know, obviously where Victor met her. But just hearing Nikki talk about all of this, it was kind of like, it really revealed a lot about Nikki's character and how she's not, like, now I'm starting to see her as someone who fakes things a lot too, and that when we hear an air in Nikki's voice, it's this faked air of, you know, that's come from years of her having to do this in her position that she's in now, especially for a person who was never in a place of power before, in a place of wealth. So Nikki basically just, she ends up confiding to Mia about all this. And we see that she's drinking or hiding it. And it feels like Mia and Nikki end up bonding, but then later when we see Mia talking to Ray, Ray's like, no, 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 no. Can't you see that Nikki is pretending with you and that it's not a real situation, and that she's just pretending to be your friend because of her husband and she wants information? So Ray reads right through it. That was Victoria's concern when Nikki tells her what she's doing, and Victoria had every right to be concerned. So it's all coming out in the open that, you know, well, not out in the open per se, but it's all coming out, like, Ray, it couldn't have been any more obvious to Ray what Nikki was doing, which just makes her look even guiltier, even though right now they still think that it was Victor who did this and not any of them. So then we see, just to kind of mention this briefly, Reed comes back into the picture just kind of this week. I don't know if he's going to be around next week, but maybe for the holidays, he comes back with the idea that he's going to find out what happened to his dad. That's his end game. But as he's finding out more, like, one of the last things we see is that he eventually stumbles upon the information that that Ray thinks that it's Victor who did this. And then Reed won't even call him Grandpa. When he storms in about it, he's like, why didn't you tell me that Victor killed Dad? And that's it. And that's kind of where we end with him. So that's kind of this week. That was kind of the big situations we had going on with all these different, you know, storylines. The only other thing that I want to mention that was kind of like a nice moment was Jack and Carrie. Carrie had kind of stood Jack up a few times. And finally, when Jack invited her with this, you know, card and this very fancy card, I should add, invited her to go to his place for, like, I guess some kind of holiday date slash dinner. And they go and they end up kissing beneath the mistletoe. But what I found interesting was that Carrie ends up comparing the mistletoe to a parasitic plant. And that's, you know, just, first of all, I did not know that. But second of all, the fact that it was just a very different take on a mistletoe kiss. And that we have someone who, as Jack puts it, he likes her dossier. And so we have someone that, professionally speaking and intellectually speaking, is on the same level as Jack. So we'll see what happens between the two of them. All right, let's check in with the chat here. Demo says, wonder how the writers will handle the Reed Victoria storyline. Yes, he called him Victor, caught that too. Gisella, does Reed know JT hit Victoria? No, I don't think that he knows any of that. I think he may have noticed they were fighting, but I don't know that he knew about the abuse. Rainy J, Reed is annoying. The kid is never happy. That's true. I've never seen him happy. Gisella, Jack and Carrie are just a bore. I usually love Jack. Matthew says, maybe it's Reed who did all this. He seems angry. I don't know. I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I'm thinking it's probably not Reed, but that Reed might, you know, stumble upon information that he wasn't privy to before. Because of this and because of knowing that it's Victor, who we still haven't seen. He's another character who's been MIA. So that's another missing piece to the puzzle is, where's Victor? Are we going to see him anytime soon? How is he related to all this? And who abducted him, if they abducted him? Or maybe Victor is just choosing to remain in hiding while he cleans up this mess. Demo, happy to see Jack happy. Again, he needs love in his life. Duleman, Phyllis, and Jack belong together. Yeah, I can see that too, but maybe now is not the time. Okay, on that note, let's get to our lol moment. The thing that really made me laugh out loud this week was earlier on when we were seeing Charlie. We saw Charlie in his kitchen, and obviously he's texting Shauna, and something came up about him working out. So he takes off his shirt and he goes to take a selfie. And as he's taking a selfie, Kane walks in and photobombs it. Like, not only just photobomb, like, not even just steps in the picture, but Kane has this really hilarious smirk on his face. Like, oh, hey, I'm in a picture. Hey, look what he's doing. I know what he's doing. And so he's just like, you know, he just pops into the picture and gives this really hilarious, like, grin, smirk. I don't know what you want to call it. The only thing, I was laughing so hard when this happened. The only thing that would have made it even better is if Kane would have just done two thumbs up and just maybe made that smile even goofier. That would have been hilarious, but it already was funny. Steemo, Kane in the selfie. Rainy J, yes, the selfie. Yeah, so a couple people agree with me on that. So, on that note, the studio is actually closed the next couple of weeks, so we're not going to be back for Restless Rap until, I believe it's January 6th. Let me pull that date up so I can give you guys, yeah, January 6th is when we're going to be back with Restless Rap. So until then, I hope you all have a very happy holidays. I'm Rachel Goodman. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman. If you want to go over and like and follow the Facebook page, it's at Restless Rap. I always post the link to the show and any updates if we're not going to have the show or, you know, what time it's going to be. It's all on there. So please go over and like and follow that site. Have a great couple of weeks. Until then, It has been fun. Bye, everybody.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.